White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 589.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello, and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with TheWarEagleReader.com, and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our some in the portal, some not, Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer, and Van.
Yes.
I'm putting my name
no.
in the transfer portal.
No, no.
I'm considering other podcasts.
Oh, no. You.
I know this will be a shock to you and the listeners, but yeah, I've kind of given everything. I've given it all, and it's time to look out for myself and my future, and that's what I'm doing.
Oh, John, you are... That should just be our theme song tonight. It is the big portal episode. I mean, there's so many portals opening up, I keep waiting for the Daleks to show up, or the Cybermen, man. I don't know. It's crazy, but we got a little bit to talk about. So I guess we should get on into it. I guess the big news of the day, and something that's been debated already ad nauseum on Twitter and other social media, is the Bo Nix news. So tell us a little bit about that.
Bo Nix is officially in the transfer portal and has announced his intention not to return to Auburn to play his final year of college football somewhere else. He has graduated from Auburn, and he will be a grad transfer eligible immediately wherever he goes. And his intention is to... transfer to another school and play another year to prepare him for a shot at the NFL. So that's what he's doing.
Now, please address the word that has been thrown around by some misguided folks today, quitter.
That's my reaction to that. If you think that Bo Nix stood behind that offensive line for the last 3 years and is a quitter, I'd suggest you go back and watch some game tape. There were so many games when he got the crap beat out of him, and he could have bailed that and said, "Coach, I can't return." He went back out there. He played his last game for Auburn with a broken ankle and kept going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He, again and again made plays, put his body on the line. And so he came to Auburn. In any kind of thing like this, it's a relationship, it's a two-way street. If it's you and another person, or it's a player and a college football team. And so part of it is the player gives their all, and part of it is the team and the school give their all. Bo came to Auburn to play football and get a degree. He got a degree. He played football. He played for 3 years. And if you as an Auburn fan never in any moment said a bad word about Bo Nix, then maybe I will allow you to say something now, but I don't think there are any of those people out there. I'm talking about, you couldn't say, "Don't throw that," or "What are you doing?" or "What were you thinking there?" or "You shouldn't have made that pass," or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Or run out of bounds or throw it away or something. If you never said any of those things or thought any of those things in any game, then maybe you could say something now. But this deal is this, like, he's given his blood, sweat, and tears for Auburn for 3 years, had done everything he could do, and was honestly not universally beloved and cheered for that, despite the fact that he was an Auburn fan who did that for 3 years. He was kind of he was held to a higher standard because he was such a high profile recruit and nitpicked and stuff to death. I have no problem with it. The guy was a warrior for 3 years and did everything he could do. And the only problem in my mind with the Bo Nix era at Auburn was unrealistic expectations. Okay.
Well, some of the pieces around him that would have made him a better player.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Again, and that's the other part. Okay. It's on the coaching staff to recruit and develop offensive linemen and wide receivers to play with him. And that part hasn't happened in the last few years, and to develop him as an individual player. He did not get individual coaching at Auburn in the years prior to this one that I thought was benefiting him. Mm-mm. And then now we're heading into another season with he doesn't know who the OC quarterback coach is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to go somewhere and play for someone that he thinks is going to develop him for the NFL. And I think it's going to happen. I mean, I don't know if he's going to have a big NFL career or whatever, but I think he's going to go somewhere else and put up big numbers and get drafted. And I'm going to be very happy for Bo Nix. I'm just telling you right now, unless this team, whoever team he transfers to, unless they play Auburn, I'm going to cheer for that kid.
Oh, yeah.
100%. So I, you know, coaches can leave if they got a better job offer tomorrow, they'll walk out the door and they'll take the money. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you think like the coaches are committed to you, please go speak to an Oklahoma fan or a Notre Dame fan or an Oregon fan. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you how much coaches are committed to them. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same. Bo Nix could have left last year. No one would have blamed him. Gus recruited him for a different offense than Harsin and Bobo were going to run, but he stayed anyhow. I think what people are unhappy about is that the payoff, right? And that he would have been a senior and he's going to be really good next year after all this experience. And so there, I think people are just unhappy because we're missing the payoff and we suffered through kind of the development cycle. That's my mind.
I haven't heard anybody enunciate it that way, but I doubt that. I don't doubt that that's part of it. Honestly, I felt like we were lucky to get him at all. And if he hadn't had that love of Auburn and that connection, I don't think he would have ever come to the regime that we had before, because it wouldn't have been conducive to him as a player. I mean, just as a, you know, Alabama loves to talk about the business decisions that their recruits make to go to Alabama. If Bo Nix had been making a business decision when he was coming out of high school, he would not have come to Gus Malzahn's Auburn, I don't think. I think he would have gone to like somewhere, he would have gone wherever Dan Mullen was or some other.
He could have gone to a Big 12 school and played some kind of wide open, you know, offense.
And well, so, it was him and Spencer Rattler, and Rattler went to Oklahoma, and Bo came to Auburn. Mm-hmm. But Oklahoma's not the only school that throws the ball all over the place all the time, and he could have gone to one of those other places. Yeah. So imagine him in Leach's offense. That would have been interesting too. Or at Ole Miss right now, and I'm kind of worried that might be where he ends up.
It's on the list, I guarantee it. Because what did I say? His criteria is somebody's going to put him in a position to go to the NFL. Mm-hmm. So what's happening in the NFL this year? Matt Corral's going to be a first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Bo's going to go in there and throw for 500. Bo looked at his offensive line and some of the players around him this year, and he just immediately said,
"You are out of order. You're out of order. You're out of order. The whole
offense
is out of order."
All right, well, here is my detailed breakdown. This may go for quite a while, John. Here's my extended breakdown of how I react to people that said that he's a quitter. Are you ready?
Smoke weed every day.
Thank you very much. Now, the other bit that came along was we thought we had another
jump gate activated,
and it was,
"Hey, there goes Tank Man. Hey, there goes Tank Man."
Yeah, so we thought, "There goes Tank Man," right? But maybe that's not the case.
No, the news tonight is that Tank is returning to Auburn. He is not leaving. He's not entering the transfer portal. There were rumors about this last offseason.
Sure.
But he said he's going to be there. He'll play in the bowl game. So I think it's big. It's big. It's gigantic. Right.
Well, yeah. Without him, we were in deep trouble.
That's right. So it's big time news for Auburn, and losing he and Bo both, especially in the same day.
Yeah,
would have been an absolute, you know, baseball bat to the knee or whatever. So
sure.
But Tank coming back is big, and I think it's, you know, I think it, you know, he feels like there's some reason to come back.
I hope he's right. So to Sean Manning to Kentucky. Sean Shivers to Indiana. That's about all we know right now, right?
Yep. On the Auburn player front, yeah.
Yeah. The one place I said earlier that I hope Bo doesn't end up is Central Florida, not out of anything to do with not liking Gus. I still love Gus Malzahn as a person, as a coach, but just 2 years under that offense and that approach kind of put him where he was. So the last thing he needs to do is go backwards, but I don't think there's any chance he's going to do that, because that would not get him ready for the NFL at all.
No, I mean, what if he wouldn't play it at Southern Cal? For the guy who's just coached a couple Heisman Trophy winners, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it would be interesting. Mm-hmm. That would be the equivalent of going to Oklahoma, but without having to compete with Spencer Rattler and this other guy. So, yeah, that would be
Spencer Rattler is gone. We'll talk about that in a little while.
Yeah. Where did he go? Well, I mean, I know he was, like, not doing well this year, but the last I heard was he was, like, on the bench because that other guy came in, but I don't know anything about
it. Yeah, they started Kay Whips. Right before the show, yes. Spencer Rattler announced his decision. Spencer Rattler is going to South Carolina.
No.
Yes.
South Carolina? The Chickens? What? You're putting a rattler in the hen house?
Beamer was an assistant at Oklahoma for the last several years before he went to South Carolina. So he had the relationship. That one I did not see coming.
Wow. So it's a good thing we're not playing South Carolina, because there'd be a third straight loss to the Chickens. Look, losing to the Chickens 2 years in a row is right up there with us losing to Georgia Tech 2 games in a row.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I feel exactly the same thing.
And Vanderbilt.
No need to be losing to that team.
In the last 20 years or so, we've got multiple losses to South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Georgia Tech. And that eats at my soul, John. Those are 3 teams we are supposed to dominate and never lose to. And we're still on a losing streak to Georgia Tech in South Carolina. I think we kind of won one back on Vanderbilt, but
we just need to get another shot at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, we do. Ugh. Yeah, instead of keep playing Clemson, man, let's go over the ACC and play somebody we want to play. Let's this is the thing. So we look at Tech right now, we're like, oh, yeah, let's get us some Tech. And then we put them on the schedule, and it'll be for like 2030, and it'll be on their national championship run. They'll be celebrating the 40th anniversary of their last one, and they'll be on their new one.
That's it.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. You know it. It's the way it always goes. You know that when we go out to Cal in a couple of years, they're going to be like in the top 10. It's just inevitable. And of course, we don't play Clemson anymore. Look at them now. I mean, geez. Unbelievable. All right. So I guess the last question as far as the transfer stuff goes, what is the legacy that Bo Nix leaves behind, and how are we going to think of him?
I mean, I'm going to think of Bo Nix as one of the most exciting and entertaining Auburn football players of my lifetime. He made plays. He engineered some huge wins. I mean, that 2019 Alabama game, I'm never going to forget that game.
That's it, yeah.
And
the Oregon game,
the Alabama game, and the LSU game this year was a great win.
Yeah.
And he played, you know, in offenses that I think this is the other thing about Bo Nix's legacy is I think his talent and his athleticism papered over the other problems.
Yeah.
And kept them hidden for much longer than they were much worse than people knew in terms of the kind of the offensive line, the receivers, running back, all that stuff. But Bo Nix was so talented that he made it go even with that.
Yep.
And so without him, you know, then we're scoring 10 points against Alabama.
I'm going to tell you right now, next year, if we didn't have Tank coming back, I would put our offense on a par with like Tulane, Southern Miss. Like a group of five, mid-level, maybe they make a bowl game in like Birmingham. Oh, wait, that's us. You know what I mean, though? That's a team that goes 6-6 playing other group of five teams.
In terms of the skill position talent, sure.
Yeah, that's kind of where I saw our offense. And somebody said the least talented offense they can remember in our lifetimes was probably 99. Mm-hmm. When Tuberville's first year, when we didn't have a running back, we had to use a receiver at running back, and we were finding ways to get Daniel, not Terry Daniel. Who was our great receiver in 1999 and 2000?
Ronnie Daniels.
Ronnie Daniels, yeah. We were having to find creative ways to get him the ball because he was the only offensive player that could do anything. And next year maybe we'll be in that same situation with Tank playing the role of Ronnie Daniels, and he's the only – I mean, Jarquez Hunter, I guess, but – he kind of disappointed. Tell me this. We're talking about Tank. look back at Jarquez really quickly. I feel like the first several games against the Cupcakes, he looked like a diamond in the rough. Somehow he was a five-star that everybody missed. After like game four, he became a very ordinary running back, and Tank clearly pulled ahead in that race. How did you see that?
I think a lot of the Jarquez stuff was who we were playing, and he was coming off the bench where the other we were playing these weaker teams that we had already overpowered by the time he got in the game. Mm. And I think he, and also I think there are some players who, you know, he's fast and explosive and stuff. And I think against lower level players, it's a big advantage, right, for him. But against SEC teams or Penn State or those kind of teams, he wasn't faster than the defensive players. So he has to learn more to play running back at this level.
Yeah.
To break a tackle, you know, to make a guy miss in the open field. He can't just run away from everybody. And I think there were some plays for him. I think if we go back and look, there were some plays early on for him against the weaker teams that were blocked incredibly well, and he had gigantic holes. And later in the season, those holes weren't there. And so that's not on him, other than the fact that he was having to then like break a bunch of tackles against SEC defenses right away, which he's not ready to do. So, I mean, once SEC play started, I think I saw the stat the other day that when Tank or Jarquez carried the ball, they were getting less than 2 yards from offensive line push, and the rest, anything beyond 2 yards was on them.
Mm. So. Yeah, I believe it. I guess, in terms of Bo, I'll just say, yeah, I agree. There were the three memorable games, probably Alabama, Oregon, and LSU this year. And I'm sorry he never got to beat Georgia. I'm sorry he had to play during the plague year last year, 2020.
I think part of the reason some Auburn fans have feelings of ill will a little bit towards him or just not incredible love is the fact that he had to start as a true freshman in 2019 on a team that, with an experienced talented quarterback, would have won the SEC.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah.
And beaten LSU. Instead, you know, lost games that they shouldn't have lost, like in Florida and in Baton Rouge. And some of it was because he was a true freshman on the road in those two incredibly tough environments against, at the time,
really
were
good
two
defense.
Good defenses.
Yeah.
I think that's an unrealistic expectation of fans to put it on him to go in there and play great and win those games. Derek Brown fell down with the ball against Florida, you know, when he was running it back. Like, so that stuff happens. And I think, I think that's the thing that some people think about Bo. And the only thing I could say is, again, that's on Auburn for not having a veteran that was a talented, competent veteran who was ready that could step in at some of those games. Because we didn't. Because remember, at the time, who was the option? Gatewood.
Yeah.
I mean, he was greener than Bo Nix was. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd come off 2 years of Jared Stidham.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of put everything in Bo, getting Bo and not having any competition for him, but Gatewood. So, yeah, I mean, but I guess we'll always have those great moments where he faked one way and then ran around the end like Nick Marshall and scored some touchdowns and got some critical first downs. And that was kind of his best play in retrospect, you know. We kept waiting for him to become a great pocket passer, but honestly, his best moments, for the most part, were when he ran.
And I think he made, you know, when things kind of fell apart, he could make a play running the ball and beat any defense.
And, man, was he on the right team for things to start falling apart. He was on the right team. Let's see. We got a few commitments today.
Yeah, the big news is early signing day is Wednesday. And the rumor coming into today from people who cover the recruiting beat for Auburn was that they felt like the team was going to finish very strong. They felt like we were in a good position. I mean, remember, like 6 months ago, we were whatever 50th in recruiting, and people were paying
13th in the SEC.
And so now, you know, I haven't looked right the second. I think we're like 27th or whatever, and we still only have 13 commits.
Well, we're in a world, John, where we can be 25th in the country and next to last in the SEC. Yeah. That's what.
Well, but. But this is what I'm saying. The recruiting people, the, you know, whatever, the Jeffrey Lee's and Cole Pitts' Jason Caldwell's of the world, they think we're going to get a lot of these guys over the next 2 or 3 days. Okay, coming into today, that Auburn has a lot of positive recruiting momentum with like a bunch of highly recruited guys who are uncommitted, and that if we get even, you know, half of those guys, we're going to finish in the top 15. And if we get, you know, most or all of those guys, we're going to finish in the top 10. Okay. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but if Auburn has a big finish in recruiting, I think that'll really turn the narrative around.
Yes.
About what is happening, because that is, what did we say at the beginning when Harsin was hired? Recruiting, recruiting, recruiting. Mm-hmm. And if they deliver on the recruiting side, I think that will be a big sign for everybody involved. So coming in today, there was two big announcements today. A four-star cornerback from Louisiana named Ashburn, and then a three-star safety, four-star safety. He's a junior college guy who committed tonight. And because he's a junior college guy, Marquise Gilbert is his name, and the other guy's name is Osberry. And the JUCO safety guy, people feel like he could come in and start right away with Smoke Monday gone. So again, with just multiple guys Tuesday and Wednesday, and then one of the big guys that's, you know, is there's a guy, this Jeffrey Mbah guy, who's a big a defensive lineman who's actually in France, who's going to commit on French TV on December 19th. Just gonna say, get ready for that. You can get all those Pepe Le Pew imitations ready for that one.
So. Zut alors.
Much better.
Je mange le tide.
So, it's big. We need some positive momentum on the recruiting front, and I think they're gonna get some guys over the next few days, and it's gonna be positive.
All right, let me give you my quick evaluation of Harsin in relation to what you're talking about right now. All right, so there have been people saying, oh, I really like him. I like his personality. I like the way he does business. I'm like, that's all fine and wonderful. But if he can't coach and he can't recruit, I'm not really worried about his personality or how he looks on the sideline, okay? He needs to be able to coach. He needs to be able to recruit. Well, the second half of the season, I have serious questions about his ability to coach, to make decisions. And then if the recruiting ended up like it has been up until today, maybe, I had serious questions about his ability to recruit. So, like, if he can't coach and he can't recruit, I'm not really sure why I'm supposed to be that excited about him. So, I agree with you completely. If he can turn this around and pull in a shockingly, unexpectedly good recruiting class, then at least half of the narrative turns around.
Yes. And honestly, the most important part of the narrative, because we knew the only way to get back to where we want to be is good recruiting. We got to have it.
Yeah.
And so I think if he can do that really in his first full year, that'd be huge.
That would help a lot. Then we have to see what he can do with coaching, but that would help a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, have these folks, are these all defensive players? Like, is it all like Derek Mason going out and recruiting and not Harsin or what?
I don't know if Harsin has been everywhere the last week. He's been all over the country.
His pictures.
So, there's offensive linemen. There's a big-time wide receiver from that guy from Oregon is committing on Wednesday afternoon, Darius Clemens. Camden Brown is another big wide receiver, a big-time wide receiver from Florida who's committing Wednesday morning. So those are guys to watch. Those are difference-maker kind of players that everybody in the country wants. So you get some of those guys – that could help.
Well, Harsin has been like the roaming gnome. I've seen his picture with everybody all over the place. So I guess he'll show up in France now with that dude. That'll be cool.
That guy was here. He was in Auburn. He got his picture taken.
Oh, I was gonna say because I want to see Harsin with a little beret and a baguette in a bag. You know, a little black beret, and he's got a baguette, smoking a cigarette.
On a scooter.
On a scooter, got a glass of wine. You know, we don't indulge in cheap stereotypes on this show. These stereotypes are very expensive. That's what we need the Patreon for. All right. What about offensive coordinator? Anything at all there? How are we recruiting these players when they don't even know their coach is going to be?
Well, again, two things. One is I think Harsin's saying, I'm putting my fingerprints on the offense. I'm going to have my hand in there a little bit more in the future. And because we have a vacant position slot for a coach, one of the off-the-field coaches has stepped in and made a huge difference, and that person is Trevon Reed.
Oh, I saw Trevon in the picture. I thought that's who it was. I love Trevon. So,
he was hired by this coaching staff in an off the field kind of player personnel kind of role. And with the offensive coordinator gone, they can pick somebody else to be an on the road recruiter right now. And so they made Trevon Reed the on the field recruiter after Bobo was gone. And he has been out visiting these guys, making a difference. That was exciting to see.
He is one of the highest rated players to ever sign with Auburn?
Believe me, my brother and I talked about this many times. I kept waiting for the Trevon Reed explosion to happen.
Oh, I mean, there were like a handful of big players coming in for the 2010 season, and he was one of them. And the big running back, we had a J.J. Pegues before J.J. Pegues that came in. I think he's the one that was killed in that gunfight over at the hotel, over the apartments. And then we had Cam, and you really didn't know which one of those three was going to end up being, you know, and I thought it was going to be Trevon Reed. And lo and behold, Cam, you know, turns out to be Cam. But, man, and then he ended up playing defensive back.
That's right.
Because he was little.
So the offensive coordinator search update, we got a little derailed there.
That's all right. Trevon does that. It's okay.
I'm very happy for him. Well, again, a guy that's come back to Auburn and is making a difference. Now,
we love that.
We're happy for him. It will not be the Arizona State guy.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
So the current rumor is a guy named Austin Davis, who played quarterback at Southern Miss, you know, not that long ago, had a cup of coffee in the NFL for a year or two, and is now the quarterback coach of the Seattle Seahawks.
That
quarterback
scratched my
is
record.
Russell Wilson. He's a young
guy. Oh, that was the – yeah. He's coached Russell Wilson, and he's got Demetrius Davis.
And he's a younger guy. He's 30. Okay. So he's a younger guy. He would be the quarterback coach and maybe offensive coordinator in name, and Harsin would be more involved in the actual – maybe the play calling, whatever. This guy could coach the quarterbacks. So I think that's who they're talking to. The Seahawks are, I believe, out of playoff contention. So it wouldn't be the end of the world if this guy bailed out. So something to keep an eye on.
All right. Well, I've got my offensive coordinator update for you right here. I put a lot of work into this. I've done a lot of research. John, who is our next offensive coordinator going to be?
Someone knows. God knows.
I don't know who it's going to be, but this is my advice for them. Hand the ball to Tank Bigsby. Rinse and repeat.
Yes. And well, you got to find some way to get him space, though. You got to pretend you're going to. Well, I was saying earlier today that our offense, if we lost Tank and Bo, our offense next season was going to be the Wildcat to Jarquez Hunter every single play. Every play would be the Wildcat. So, you know, I want to look up. Okay, go ahead.
So that's pretty much I think we'll hear something in the next week or so. But it's also like there's no reason to do it today because signing day is Wednesday. There aren't any big-time offensive players out there that are like, I'm not signing with you until I hear the name, until you announce it. So if it's not hurting us right now, you know, there's no point in doing it until later this week. Let the coaches focus on finishing recruiting. So I think that's the biggest thing. And then next week on this show, we will do the in-depth Birmingham Bowl preview.
Oh, man. People are going to be tuning in with rabid excitement to get the breakdown of the Birmingham Bowl. But, you know, it is in a nice new stadium, so that's pretty cool.
It is. That's, I guess, if you were considering going, that's a strong recommendation, the brand-new UAB stadium. It's supposed to be very fancy, very, very nice, 1,000,000,000 times better than the hole in the ground that we used to play it in at Birmingham, and it's supposed to have a nice bunch of beer taps in it too.
So. Oh, nice. I realize I've been remiss, so if I can hit this button just for a quick second.
This is the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks Report.
Louisiana Monroe, coached by Terry Bowden. After a strong early season, they kind of pulled an Auburn. They kind of pulled an Auburn, and they lost their last five games in a row, although they did come within 13 points of LSU.
This has been the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks Report.
Sometimes I think Van only does that kind of stuff to amuse me. Like just me. Like we don't care what everybody else thinks about it. Just like Van wants to see if he get a reaction out of me while I'm on camera and look at each other.
I just feel like if it entertains you at all, it'll entertain our audience. You just get to be the little microcosm. The microcosm of our audience. That's the job, see. And I just don't want anybody to think that I'm only picking on, that I'm doing it in bad faith or that I'm picking on anybody. I'm trying to spread the love around all these Auburn people. I mean, maybe next week we'll do a Gene Chizik update. That'd be cool. He's had some good commentary. He has had some words of chisdom.
I was going to say, are you going to play it for the Chicken Finger franchise? Or?
he puts out those words of chisdom, isn't it? Words of chisdom?
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah.
He kind of stepped in one recently.
So. Yeah, well. Let's see. So update on the bowl game coming next week. Okay, now we've got do we want to talk about Auburn versus NCAA today, or did we move something else?
Well, let's just do the real short version, right?
Okay, yeah. Well, this is the Friday, basketball thing, right? Okay, let's do it.
Friday, the basketball news came out, the NCAA hearing about Auburn. And the sound you heard was a very light slap on the finger from the NCAA.
And the other sound you heard was the basketball media intelligentsia gnashing their teeth and rending their garments.
This is them. No! That was the Pat Fortes and everybody in the world.
You know what, Pat?
Blame yourself.
There you go.
There you go.
Because you know what? They thought they had all this on us, but...
I don't have facts to back this up.
Boom!
Again, I think it's a personal thing. Like, they view Bruce Pearl as, like, sleazy, dirty, whatever. And so they're always going to believe that Auburn is super guilty. When the reality is, when you look at the facts of the Auburn case versus some of these other cases, other schools had... Players receive benefits to come to the school. Again, Will Wade was caught on tape by the FBI talking about a payment to a player. He is still coaching LSU. They have not been punished. Other schools did get the hammer dropped on them, but A, they were paying players to come, and B, they had done nothing to mitigate the damage. Auburn had done a tremendous amount of work to mitigate the damage. So yes. When you talk about the totality of the punishment that Auburn got, it is not what the NCAA said on Friday, it's everything Auburn self-imposed and plus what the NCAA said on Friday.
Exactly.
So if Auburn went and sat in jail for a year and then the jail sentence was 20 more days, Auburn's jail sentence wasn't 20 days. It was a year and 20 days.
And yet they're like, hey, gave them 20 days. What a bunch of crap. Like,
so again, that part is people fail to see the whole picture. Auburn, and again, I'm going to give a ton of credit. Rich McGlynn is the guy that Auburn hired away from the NCAA years ago. He is the one that guided us through the Cam Newton thing and got us out of that, basically, got us through that, got him cleared. And he's the one who decided on the recommendations for the early stuff that Auburn self-imposed here. He got us out of this, too. That guy earned his money and did a good job for Auburn.
Please clap.
Let's be clear. We've been hauling in these guys while this was hanging over the head of Bruce Pearl and the coaching staff, and other schools were using this against us in recruiting. Oh, Auburn's going to get the hammer. They're going to get a postseason ban. You don't want to go there. That's gone now. You really going to see some recruiting now. And combined with maybe one of the funnest teams Auburn's ever had, look out. So it was a gigantic win on Friday.
This team this year, which we already praised last week, I'm going to say this. Every time this team goes out and plays, it is a giant recruiting commercial for Auburn basketball. You, too, can be a part of this insanity. Like Devin Cambridge getting back-to-back reverse alley-oop jams. I mean, where else could Devin Cambridge be playing and be doing that right now? I don't think anywhere.
Not just doing that on the NBA court in Atlanta and a national TV audience. Kevin Durant was in the stands.
I know
it. And Charles Barkley was on the television broadcast. And they looked like they were having fun out there, and they were, and beating a really good team at the same time.
Absolutely. All right, I want to quickly go through what the, and this won't take but a second, what the Committee on Infractions actually found, because there's so much disinformation. I broke this down on Twitter and on Facebook on Auburn Family, and had on Auburn Family on Facebook, I had like dozens of people saying, thank you for clarifying this. This helps a lot. And I'm glad. It made me feel good to know. But here's the thing. That shouldn't have had to be the case. People shouldn't have had to go to my Facebook post to understand what the crime and punishment was. But that was what they had to do because the basketball intelligentsia media was not reporting the facts, as you were just breaking down. So very quickly, what they said was, you know, Chuck, what came out has actually happened. Chuck Person was taking bribes from an outside company to steer existing Auburn players to that company for financial services. It was not Auburn paying players, and it was not Auburn, you know, cheating to get players. It was players we already had going the other direction. All right. So number two, there was allegations that an assistant coach had paid a walk-on player's tuition. The Committee on Infractions found no evidence to support that allegation. Boom, gone. And then number three, the penalty they put on Bruce, which was the two-game suspension, as you said, in addition to everything else the last 4 years, that was specifically not for recruiting violations or anything like that. It was specifically... it wasn't lack of institutional control, but it was kind of a misdemeanor version of it where they're like, you were the boss. You should have known that Chuck Person was doing some bad stuff. You didn't find out fast enough for our taste. So here's a couple of game suspension. That was, and that's it. John, that is the extent of it. Boom, done.
That's it. And I think this is the other part. Again, if you're a younger Auburn fan and you're not aware of like who Chuck Person really is, after Charles Barkley, maybe the second best player ever to play at all.
Yes, yes.
You know, a great outside shooter in the era before three-pointers were really a serious thing. Mm-hmm. Played for a long time in the NBA and then came back to Auburn and was on the initial Bruce Pearl staff. There's some reports that, like, he was kind of forced on Bruce Pearl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That he wasn't a Bruce Pearl guy, but that Bruce Pearl was kind of told, you need to hire Chuck Person because he's tied to the university and he'll be good for you. And yeah. So that makes it worse that if Bruce didn't have a choice and then this guy that was kind of forced on him turned out to be not a good person. So
now at this point, you just let Bruce have whatever he wants. You make him Nick Saban of basketball. Give him any amount of money, a blank check, and let him hire whoever he wants. And if he wants to paint the outside of Auburn Arena purple, then buy him some paint. Whatever he wants.
Yes. Sure. Well, because this is the other thing. Now that this is out of the way, other schools are going to take their shot. Maryland fired their coach, and they're already talking about it. They're going to throw a boatload of money at Bruce Pearl.
We need two boats, John.
You got to throw two boatloads of money.
I'll write a check for my part right now. I will not let him go. I will drive over to his house and handcuff myself to his ankle. We must not let him go.
I don't think that's a positive, Van. I think we want to. And I think Auburn gets this, that they could see the enthusiasm in the arena and they could see that, you know, how well he's doing and stuff. So I think they see the ambassador that he is for the school and the athletic department. So they're going to do it. But I'm just – and I think Bruce feels some loyalty to Auburn because they took a chance on him when other people didn't.
I think he loves Auburn.
I'm just telling you that a couple other big schools are going to take their shots at him in the next year or two.
I have said all along he is a Kansas UCLA coach that we, through a bizarre set of weird circumstances, got, and we should treasure every minute. Because honestly, if he leaves us, it will be for a top five type level job, I believe. And at that point, I can't blame him, right? Who could blame a coach for leaving Auburn basketball to go to, like, you know, Kansas or North Carolina or something? I would be miserable. I would be heartbroken, but I'd be like, you know, come on, you know, you can't, you know, but you got to treasure every minute we have with him because, you know, even that aside, even if he stays at Auburn the rest of his career, he's like 62.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's not, you know, 40. He's not going to coach for another 20 years. And the track record of juniors stepping in and just picking right back up where their dad left off is not good. If you followed college basketball the last 45 years or so, like you and I have, the juniors always come in and things always go in the toilet. Yeah. I've seen it over and over and over.
No. We're not going down that road. But you're 100% right. It is gold that we found in the river or whatever with Bruce Pearl. We got to keep it. We got to make him feel loved and pay him whatever he needs to be paid to keep him, because he's built. I mean, again, I never, ever, ever thought it would be this way for Auburn basketball.
No.
And it is.
John, I said 10 years ago, I said, you know, the teams that I love the most trying to win the highest award in their sport out of all of them, and that included like the United States and the World Cup, okay? I said, which is the one that is the least likely to ever achieve it in my lifetime? And I said, oh, Auburn basketball. Auburn basketball is never going to get close to winning the national championship in my lifetime. And boy, was I almost wrong.
Well, you were wrong in that they almost did it, but...
Well, but I never thought they'd get even remotely that close. I thought that forever our closest journey to the sun would have been the 86 team that made it to the Elite Eight.
Yep.
And I think we had another Elite Eight team. But that was the only one? The 2000 team only got to like the Sweet 16, I guess? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Final Four. Yeah, there it is. So, okay. We got to play Nebraska. We played Nebraska and we showed out, as they say, with Flanagan coaching.
And then we get North Alabama
coming
up with the
Pride of Florence.
Pearl Jr. coaching against that one. And soon they're heading in your direction.
We've got our tickets. We were really worried. Amy was like freaking out that, you know, disappointed that because she really enjoys seeing Bruce. He's a show, you know, and she likes the entertainment aspect. She looks for Albie and she looks for Bruce Pearl. They're kind of similar, you know. Kind of like if Albie coached the basketball team and but could actually talk. And she's like, oh, no, we're not going to get Bruce. And then we kind of looked at the schedule and like, oh, he'll be back. He'll be back. So we were very relieved that we're going to actually on Saturday. Yeah, my older daughter is coming up from Southern Illinois. She lives and teaches school down around SIU. And her boyfriend is coming and he's getting him an Auburn shirt. He's an SIU guy, too, but he's going to get him an Auburn shirt for the game. And all five of us will be there in, I guess, Chaffetz Arena. I think they play in Chaffetz for the SLU Auburn game, and that's going to be very exciting. And I expect us to win by 20, so they better have their act together and be ready to roll. I don't want any embarrassing.
I think it's going to be fun, and we will be looking for you on TV.
Awesome. We'll be there at, you know, like Tiger Walk is at like 6, and our game is not until like 8. So we're going to have to be bumping around finding something to do in downtown St. Louis for 2 hours, but that'll be all right. That'd be all right. Let's see. You want to tell the folks about the bowl pick'em contest? It's underway now.
If you're a patron, we have a bowl pick'em contest on ESPN.com. The invite is out there on the patron page. Go sign up now. Make your picks now because the bowl games start shortly. Mm-hmm. I think it's end of this week. I'm double checking the schedule right now while I talk. The bowl game starts shortly. You do not want to miss it because you're thinking, oh, I got till New Year's, whatever. The first bowl game is Friday, December 17th. So don't mess around. Get your picks in now and compete against Van and I in the pick'em contest.
Our patron, who is a big NC State supporter, was telling me they're playing very soon. When do they actually? Oh, it's December 28th. There it is. Okay. He must have been referring to a basketball game or something. I have to go back and look at his message. But that's cool. We appreciate him very much. So go ahead. And one clarification, because a couple of people have asked this, is when you go in and it wants you to log in, it doesn't want the bowl pick'em contest information. It means you log into your ESPN account. And then once you do that, you can like put in the credentials for our bowl, which the link should take you to. And you can go ahead and do it. And it does work because there's like – the last time I looked, there were like 20, 25 people already in there had to have done it. So it works. You just got to kind of do it the right way. And I admit it is very – everything ESPN's website is always confusing. But you have to log in yourself, like your email address and whatever. And then you put in your picks. But several people have asked me that. I just want to make it clear. So that's going to be going on very soon. Make sure you get your bowl picks in. I always like when we get to do these things for the patrons that people like. Speaking of which, the Fantasy Formula One – championship has ended. It ended on yesterday on Sunday with that insane John, did you? I know you haven't followed it, but did you hear all the screaming and going bananas over the end of that race?
I have been informed.
Holy cow! I said it was the kick six of racing. It was absolutely the kick six of racing. It's like there's no way, and then something happens, and I was just standing up going, I cannot believe this. It was absolutely insane. I'm not going to go on to it here. Alan J. Porter and I are going to do an open wheel show, record one Thursday night, talking about the whole Formula One season, but especially that final race. We're going to break it all down for you. It'll be in the White Rocket Entertainment podcast feed. So if you're not already a subscriber to the sister show, one of the sister shows, there's also the James Bond show and the Babylon 5 show. We have a lot of shows, John. We have a lot of channels on our network. We got at least four, getting a new one too. I'm about to get to in a second. Anyway, subscribe to the White Rocket Entertainment channel. We're going to break it all down for you. It'll be fantastic. We've been doing a fantasy league for patrons, and just really quickly, here is how it finished up. I have to go into, by the way, I ended up number 241 out of 4,000 participants in the Shift F1 podcast league. So I'm very proud of myself. Thank you very much.
Not bad.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I ended up that far.
Please clap.
There we go. Thank you. All right. Coming in, I'm going to do the top 10. Coming in at number 10 was Eric M. with Team Saccolate. Coming at number 9 was Richard Stevens. Yay, Richard, with RAS's Racers. Congratulations. Number 8 was Rob M. with Vesper. Number 7 was Eric M. with Scuderia Aquila. I can't read it because the screen's not wide enough, but it's basically Italian for War Eagle. Yeah, Gura probably. Number 6, our own yard sale artist, Jared, with the GTG Racing team. Number 6, he always was asking how he's doing. I'm like, well, you could go look. But yeah, number 6, good job. Good job by Jared. I like when the folks that don't know a lot about the sport do well. They try and they do well. Number 5 was my backup team, Scuderia Plexico Rosso. Number 4 was Mira, her highest ranking team with Del Taco Racing. I love her Del Taco Racing team. Number 3 was Daniel O with Spinala. Number 2 was Daniel O with Teamy McTeamface. And number 1 was my first team, Blue Tiger, instead of Red Bull, Blue Tiger Racing. And I just got to say, what an incredible championship chase we had at the end. Daniel's team finished behind mine by 150 points out of 4,000. And he was chasing me down every week. And I was doing frantic substitutions and revamps of the lineup just to stay ahead. And if there was like two more races, he probably would have passed me. So, whew, I got it. But if he does it next year, I'm afraid he's going to win it. He was really, really good. So there you go. There's the Fantasy Formula One standings for this year. A couple of quick things. Got a new podcast channel launching January 1st called All of the Avengers. If you like Avengers, then I'm going to be reading every Avengers comic starting back in 1963 and doing podcasts and videos about them occasionally. And I'm going to have pro and fan guests come on and talk with me about them. And if you want to get on the ground level of this, I like to read, you know, we always on here read the patrons, John. I'm about to read the patrons and thank them all. I didn't want to be having to read a giant list of football patrons on the Avengers show. So I've started a new Patreon just for the Avengers show. If you like Marvel, if you like the Avengers, you like comics, join us at All of the Avengers. Just go to Patreon and search All of the Avengers. You can get in as a founder at the $20 level until January 1st, $5. $5 pledge right now gets you the $20 level as long as you're a member. As long as you're a patron, you get everything the $20 people get for only $5. That's until January 1st. On January 1st, that category goes away other than the folks that already have it, and then you have to go to other amounts. So, I created a new Patreon just because I want to be able to thank just the Avengers folks for the Avengers show. And then finally, I'm about to send out the Pulsar stuff, the Kickstarter. That was awesome. It succeeded, raised about $1,000 for my artists and my colorists and everybody. I'm just so proud. All right. Here are the fine folks that keep our program on the other channels going. This includes the Bond show and the White Rocket show. And of course, this show. We have to thank Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Christopher Burleson, Dr. Crackham, Patrick Hayes, Allison Rich, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Logan Chilton, Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, AU Falling Up, Auburn Tiger Talk, Ben Bloodworth, Brian's Not Harsin' Around, I hope not, Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, Eric Morgan, Bobby, For the Love of Pete, Please Don't Lose the Bowl Game, amen, Jay, Joel, George Gaston, Harsin's Krutenfinger. That's what I was going to mention a while ago, and I forgot. It was Harsin's Krutenfinger. He's always pointing. Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Old Mrs. Miracle Medical Staff, Algorithm, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Hammett, His Arms Wide, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, plus, let me swallow, Theodore Gary, Valiant Hermes, WDE Richie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Karen, Boris the Tiger, Brandon the Smith, Buddy is a much better elf than Saban, Carter Glaus, Cato the Barner, Chris the Hilton, I love our little V section, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, Darris Benton, David Simpson, Die Bama, oh man, I wish. We need to sweep them in basketball this year, even though they're pretty good. Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Heather and Yancey Steingrabber, Helping Van Still Upgrade His Insulation, amen. Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kenoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Listen to HellBentATL.com, and
Smoke Weed Every Day.
I like it. Very good. Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Saban Needs a New Toupee, Sarah Hine, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snow Dog, Stephen Houston, This Is the Year Bo Nix Has Improved So Much. Oh, this makes me sad to read. Under this new offense, he's focused. He's having fun. I wouldn't be surprised if he transfers, I'm afraid. Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87. After the Iron... Uh-oh. Hold on. Hold the phone. Sorry, I messed something up. Oh, no. Don't mean to drag this out too long. I know that people love this section, but it also kind of goes on for a while. After the Iron Bowl, I ate some bugs, I ate some grass, I used my hand to wipe my tears. Alex Nguyen, Alex Quirard says, War Eagle Brian Pittman is my best friend. Cool. Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Ben Hanshew, Ben Regas, Brian Albanese, C. Braun, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Colonel Dad, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, David Smiley. Don't worry, guys. I'm not entering the Patreon podcast transfer portal. Thank you. Appreciate that. Elizabeth Donald, Ice Cream Clone with a Boba Fett face. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, Jeremiah Schumann, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, John Soundboard, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, Michael Halbrook, Michael O'Connor, MVP Captivating Kathy Bright, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Sarah Browns, She Saw Susie Sitting in a Shoeshine Shop. Where she shines, she sits, and where she sits, she shines. Ha ha, Bob Salmon. Tried to trip me up with that one. Spanky Big Bootay, Johnny Van and Monkey Boys. It's true. Stephen Thompson, the Aubie Strangling Big Al ornament. I have that one on my tree right now. The Aubie Strangling Big Al. I love it. It's my favorite one. Amy asked me the day, because we got a Boba Fett one. We got a bunch of Iron Man ones, all this. She's like, what's your favorite ornament? I said, it's the Aubie Strangling Big Al. Oh, he's Little Al. Trevor Johnson, Brant Rumble, Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. I didn't say at the beginning. I've got to say it now. If you want to join those ranks and put whatever message you can fit in there, go to www.auwishbone.com.
All right. And join now so you can compete in the bowl pick 'em against us.
Yes. Join up now. As little as a dollar a month, join up now, and you're in on the bowls.
Yep, and we'll also do an NCAA tournament basketball pick when we get to that time.
So. It's coming soon. Coming quick. Yeah, get in on the basketball. I guess, the game, that it is time to go. I think this is the last one for a little while from Jared, right?
It is.
Last one. He's got stuff going on, but he graciously did us one more. So let me go ahead and fire that up.
Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist. I attempted to take some vacation this month, but my vacation paperwork was rejected. So I'm back with another Guess the Game, although this one probably will be the last Guess the Game until after the new year. With that said, let me go ahead and get to my intro music.
I was wondering.
This is Stan White, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone and the Auburn podcast that features Jared Albrick and two other guys.
Something was interesting about that intro music. Anyway, let's get into the play for this episode. This
Kathy
is Guess the Game, episode 37, brought to you by Rob Morgan. Let's get right into it. Give it a listen.
It's a full yard, Jim, on fourth down. Two tight ends up under center, one wide receiver from the I set. Going to give it a racing to get outside, won't make it. Broke the tackle. He's going to go.
Okay, interesting stuff. I will see you guys in the hint file. We'll get rid of some of those bleeps.
I know what it is. So this is one that I actually like used in the book where I transcribed some famous calls into the book. I don't know if I actually transcribed that one, but I remember listening to it. So it's relatively fresh on my mind from last summer when we were, you know, putting together the book. So we'll see if you can get it, because I there's no point in me. I'm not even having to guess. So you heard Jim Fife. And I think, was that Pat Sullivan? Or no, that was probably Charlie Trotman. I think that was Charlie Trotman. And what really kind of gives it away to a degree is this: an Auburn running back on the goal line getting the ball and looks hopelessly stopped. And he makes a move and breaks like three tackles and gets in for the touchdown. I feel like you and Pat and I talked about it, because Pat was commenting on that. On We Believed. You drawing a blank?
I remember that conversation, but I do not remember who the player was.
Well, let's get the hint file up then.
Welcome to the hint file. As I promised, let's get rid of those bleeps and give it a listen.
It's a full yard, Jim, on fourth down. Two tight ends, White up under center, one wide receiver from the I set. White's going to give it to Bostic. Racing to get outside, won't make it. Broke the tackle. He's going to go. He was able to spring loose and get his touchdown. Auburn lose on top, ties it up 27-all, and a chance to go on top with the point after.
I've got all the confidence in the world in you at this point. It's not like you guys wrote a book about this kind of stuff. I will see you in the answer file.
Exactly, yeah. That was the advantage I had.
It was James Bostic.
From Stan White.
From Stan White. That was 94?
That's Pat Nix.
93. It was 93. Florida, Alabama, which game was that?
Well, let's see. We took the lead like 28-27, and I'll say this, that score did not hold up. We ended up having to win with a score of 38 for us to 35 for them.
Florida?
Yes. The 93 Florida game is pretty sure what that is. All right, let's hear Jared's last one where he tells us that we are.
All right, Van John, welcome to the answer file. I suspect that you have figured out that this is Auburn versus Florida in 1993. Once again, I want to thank Rob Morgan for sending that in. If you have a guess the game suggestion, you can send it to @YardSaleArtist. That's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram is all @YardSaleArtist. If you're not on social media, you can send it to my email, which is Jared, J-A-R-R-O-D, @theyardsaleartist.com. If you could do me a favor and include a link to the play you've selected, that will make my life a bit easier. And until my leave paperwork gets finalized and I can finally get out of here, Van, John, Morgan. Who can it be
now? That was a good one. Thank you. Thank you, Jared and Rob Morgan. So
it would have been more exciting if I hadn't just happened to know it exactly, but because I'd have been like, oh man, that could be, you know, all over the place. But yeah, that was a good one though. It was a good play. It was an interesting play from a really good game. He could pull like five more plays from that game, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say that game is
crazy
highlights back and forth. So
there's like a Frank Sanders reverse for a touchdown that was cool. Yeah, there's some really cool plays in that one. And of course, the Jackson
interception,
the 100 yards plus. Yeah, they were up 10-0, about to go up 17-0, and we intercepted and did a pick six on them, 100 yards, made it 10-7 instead of 17-0. That was huge.
That was one of the single biggest turning points in a football game I can ever remember.
Yes. Because, I mean, if they'd scored to go up 17-0, I felt like we'd have just deflated and given up, and it would have been 50-0. And instead,
they were going to blow us out of the stadium.
Yes. As they had done like the previous year and before that. That's right. So. All right, so I guess at this point we're getting close to the end. I've lost the soundboard, which some people consider a blessing, but oh no.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun 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 on the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right, what we got?
All right, we got a few questions. The first one is from our NC State fan, Doc Crackham. Mm-hmm. Who says, this morning. He says, listener question, straight up. Am I watching a dumpster fire? Why would Bo Nix and potentially Tank leave? Please apportion blame as to how we got here. In my opinion, Herb Hand gets a lot of blame here. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going back here, but our offensive line production declined when he was on the Plains. Also, how does it look to others in the country as our legacy quarterback transfers and running back one potentially transferring? It's going to be a long offseason.
Yeah. Well, hopefully if we can hold on to Tank. But I agree. I mean, I do. Herb Hand is a good whipping boy. And then, of course, Gus by extension for bringing him in, although they did kind of move him along after about a year. But, we had a phase there where we had the offensive line coach that was like sick, had cancer, was having a hard time. He was struggling. Mm-hmm. Then we had Herb Hand, who just didn't do a very good job of recruiting. And it kind of spiraled out of control from there, and they never really could get it back, it didn't seem like.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. But apportionment of blame, I think, again, for the Bo Nix thing, I think a big portion of the Bo Nix blame is driving. Again, he was recruited by Gus to play for Gus. And so when Gus left, like, he stayed, but that wasn't the guy that he signed with to play. And so, you know, Auburn made a choice to move away from Gus. I don't think you can blame players that Gus recruited from, you know, thinking they might want to do something else. So I think that's a big piece of it. So.
Yeah, there's rumors that like Bo and his dad went to Harsin and said, we have a list of demands, and if they are not met, we will blow this bank up or something, you know.
I heard that, and I'm going to be honest. People hear that, and they think the demands are like, I must be the starter, and I get to choose the uniforms and the face mask, and we're only going to do practice drills that I want. And I don't think those are I really don't think it's what it's about.
No,
I think it's probably stuff like, you asked me not to go work with a private quarterback coach in the offseason, and now that I'm getting close to trying to make it to the NFL, I want to do that. I want to be allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. And some of that kind of stuff where maybe they were, you know, they were putting the clamps on him a little bit and he wanted more freedom in that stuff. I don't think it was he expected any guarantees or anything. I'm just
No, I agree with that 100%.
I mean, and maybe part of it was, I don't want you to bring in a guy who started a bunch of games as a transfer. I think he probably could have said that. Mm-hmm. If I stick around, you can't bring in a transfer who started multiple years at another school. If I'm going to commit my senior year to this, I don't think that's an incredibly unreasonable thing. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think it was stuff like that for sure.
All right. A couple more. Next one's from Scott Crankton, who says, the title of his email is Patience or Lack Thereof. And he says, gentlemen, unless he pulls a Mike Price, a new coach should be given 3 years to establish his program, and then you can start judging by wins and losses. If Brian Harsin signs on Wednesday, what is perceived a poor early signing class, and he loses the bowl game on December 28th, should he then be put out of his misery and terminated, since another subpar year would lead to discontent from the fan base and possibly the powers that be as to make his third year untenable? Respectfully, Scott Crankton, P.S., things are going too well for the basketball team. What calamity is surely waiting to happen? This is Auburn we're talking about.
That's true. I hope we can jinx that out of here, get that out of here. But he's true.
I just want to paint the roller coaster again. Auburn fandom, this is it, okay? Friday morning, you wake up, news. There's going to be an NCAA hearing. Auburn's going to get punished. So that's all we know going in the morning. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then the news comes out. It's nothing. You know, slap on the hand, blah, blah, blah. Like we said, then we go kill Nebraska. We're riding high. Mm-hmm. Then Sunday, news comes out. Oh, Sunday night, Bo's leaving. Aunt Maybe Tank's leaving. Mm-hmm. And then there's panic in the streets. And then tonight, the news are like, you know, we got two good commits today and Tank's coming back and and recruiting looks good. So it's just a roller coaster.
That's it. That's our life. That's what we do.
That's it. So I'm going to 100% answer Scott's question here. Patience. Again, the collective we, and I'm going to take some ownership for my share of this, decided that we needed to change a football coach.
Yes.
Last year. And we got one. Mm-hmm. And we picked a guy who I think is a good football coach. We just got to give him time to do his thing and succeed or fail in his own way with a fair roster that he recruited. I would offer that deal to anybody. So, you know, I said when he was hired, one of the things I was going to evaluate is how he recruited, and we couldn't evaluate that last year because that's, you know, they've been here a week. That's not recruiting. So, so we'll see. And then we'll see a year from now when they've been here, you know, the full cycle of recruiting is an even bigger evaluation in terms of their recruit. That's the real, can they recruit? So, are you on the patience or lack thereof side of this?
Well, I already kind of said that I didn't like his coaching decisions and I haven't liked his recruiting, but he can totally win me over by first shocking me with recruiting and then next season show me some coaching changes. And then I'll be 100% on board again.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, this is my view of it. If we finish 15th in recruiting in the country, that's a huge win and I will be ecstatic.
Absolutely.
So I'm just laying that marker down right now.
Boom.
And a last question is from Auburn Elvis, frequent question asker, who says, I sleep peacefully knowing that when the sky actually does fall someday, Auburn Twitter will be well out in front of the story.
Yep.
It's very fair.
There's no doubt.
I'm just going to say there are a number of – Twitter is, you know, not a place for calm and rational discourse about anything. No. And there are a number of Auburn fans on there who probably are deleting their Tank Bigsby tweets from the last 24 hours right now. So,
I hope so.
I'm just putting that out there. So
I like it.
It's not be hasty.
All right. Our last little segment here. We got a couple of things to pop in here. What are we going to do, Mira,
Let's
from 10 years ago?
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
Sounds like a plan. Mira told me today, Daddy, you know the fourth draft of my first novel that I've been waiting for you to read? Well, don't read that because I'm working on the fifth draft. I'm like, I've created a monster. She's crazy. She's so incredible. All right, we talked a little bit about this. Oklahoma hired away the Ole Miss offensive coordinator. Oh, they hired Ted Roof?
Yeah.
The roof is on fire.
So, again, I guess when you're a defensive coordinator, like the Clemson defense coordinator that Oklahoma hired as their head coach, you feel like you can hire anybody as your defensive coordinator because you're going to help cover that side of the ball. So, hire Ted Roof.
Yeah. Well, that was Chizik. That was Chizik with Roof in 2009 and 10 and 11.
Same thing. He feel like, oh, I got this. And maybe he's the defensive coordinator's defensive coordinator.
There you go. Okay.
So
he really seems to be.
But I think Ole Miss losing Jeff Lebby is big. He was really good, and Oklahoma hired him away to be their offensive coordinator. I think that's a loss for Lane Kiffin's really good, but Lebby brought in the Baylor stuff that they were doing on offense, and it really improved Ole Miss.
He'll be a head coach pretty soon, won't he?
We'll see. We'll see. But I think it's a big get for Oklahoma in the short
term. Yeah, yeah. And they got Dan Lanning from not Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning from Marvel Comics and Warhammer, but Dan Lanning from the Georgia defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he is the new Oregon head coach, replacing Mario Cristobal.
Wow.
He will coach in the playoff for Georgia and then go be the Oregon.
Oh, that never goes well. Georgia, go ahead and chalk up that loss to Michigan. Here it comes.
But also, like, Oregon just had two guys get hired away because they're – had ties to Florida, and they're hiring this guy who was coaching in the SEC right now. Okay.
Yep.
So that's what they did.
Grab you some and Nike then, money and run.
That's the plan. So
that's the plan.
And then, I already said Spencer Rattler right before the show started committed to South Carolina.
To the chickens.
And they also got a tight end who transferred away from Oklahoma that is going with him as a package.
Everybody's going to the coop. They're converging on the coop.
Again, while we don't play South, since we don't play South Carolina again, I want to return to our earlier theory, which is we want the East to be good.
Yeah.
Because other teams in the West are playing easier East teams. And we want the East to be good because Georgia's got to play them every year, all those teams. So if they're all doormats, Georgia's thing is easier. If Georgia's got to play a bunch of tough teams, a bunch of really talented
like we do.
Tough teams, like again, the West, you know, LSU is a dumpster fire. They just hired a great coach. And Kelly, I think he's really good. So
as bad as LSU was this year, they ended with the same record as us.
That's it.
And they're in a bowl.
Yeah. So the West is an absolute meat grinder.
Yes.
I'm just laying it out there. Meat grinder.
So what we got coming up, we know Georgia, Michigan, and Alabama, Cincinnati on New Year's Eve. That never goes well for ratings. Yeah. It's not going to be good.
I was going to say, we can hold these, I think, for next week's show. Do the full bowl preview.
We'll do the bowl preview and everything, including the Birmingham Bowl and all that next week. So that's cool. All right. Well, any final thoughts then?
Sometimes people need the freedom to choose what they want to choose, man. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so... And it goes both ways. You know, Bo Nix is choosing something, but tomorrow and Wednesday, a bunch of new young men who are high school recruits are going to choose Auburn, and it's exciting, and I look forward to cheering for them.
I'm looking forward to cheering for players that want to play for Auburn and that are going to start maybe laying down a foundation and building up toward, you know, to use a metaphor from a TV show we recently reviewed. Eventually, that big galactic empire in Tuscaloosa is going to fall. We need Harry Seldon to walk up and say, "It's already falling." And I don't plan to soften the blow, all right? I want us to build a nice foundation.
You're gonna be
ready. Yeah, I want us to be ready to replace that empire with our strong foundation.
And is it going to be 10 years from now either?
No.
It's going to be less than 5.
And they can have 10,000 years of dark ages in Tuscaloosa for all I care. That would be wonderful.
Amen.
All right. Well, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.